Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this March 6th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. And we're going to have some fun this in the next half an hour. And it will be a half an hour. Usually, when our friends at the Wood County Sheriff's Department join us, we have an hour with them. Had some things come up, so today this will be an abbreviated show. We'll just be the half an hour. And we'll have a best of for you in the second half. Right now, though, want to welcome in Jail Captain Ted Ashback. Ted, good to see you, as always.
Good to see you again.
Thanks for being here. And I also want to welcome in Ted Ashback. Ted Jr. is here with us. Ted, good to see you.
Yes, nice to see you too, James.
Appreciate the time, you guys. Thanks so much. Right out the gate, we appreciate you. Appreciate what you do for our community. Have your back. And anything you need, door is always open. Thanks so much for being here. Ted Sr., I'm a junior too, so I have to be careful with that. And I should know better. I'm the fourth James, so I really should know better. When it comes to the jail, I want to get an update from you with that. But we have to start right here, of course. We have a family connection here. Ted Jr., you were just hired as a full-time deputy at the Sheriff's Department. Congratulations, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Where were you beforehand?
So beforehand, I worked for the Portage County Sheriff's Department, and that's kind of a funny story there, too. Like, I'm working here with my dad at Wood County, but Portage County is where my grandfather actually worked and retired from.
Wow.
He finished his career. So kind of a little bit of a mix of family everywhere and law enforcement. So
that is pretty cool. That is pretty darn cool. So I certainly want to ask the obvious questions, Mr. Ted Sr. here, about what it's like to have your child not only kind of take up what sounds like a bit of a family tradition, but certainly following in your footsteps in many ways. And the added weight of that with the field that you're in. We'll get to all of that. But I did want to note something that my dad actually brought up. My dad loves this show, and he likes trading cards with Sheriff Becker and stuff. So as soon as I said that I was going to have the Sheriff's Department on right away, he's like, oh, I got to get a card ready. I'm like, well, I don't think Sean's going to be in tomorrow, Dad. And we got talking about you guys. And he immediately, me and my dad growing up, one of our first things we did together was watch old Westerns, watching like everything Clint Eastwood ever did and all that. We love Westerns. And he brought up, he's like, you know, that's kind of an old, that's an old West thing. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, that's how it used to be back in the day. It was a family tradition that, you know, that if your family was in law enforcement, that was pretty much where you were going, like farming or some other industries. And certainly we've gotten away from that a little bit, but I think that it's kind of there's an old school kind of like feel to it that it feels right, feels good. And I couldn't help but notice that as we were coming into the conversation today. I think that's kind of unique and interesting. It's not that uncommon for, sons to follow in their father's footsteps. But doing that in law enforcement and in this day and age, you know this job better than most, sir. So knowing that your son is going into it, what is the weight of that? What is the joy of that? Give me it all.
Well, I guess it's kind of everything all at once. I mean, you hear the radio, you get a little bit nervous about what they're going to, and then you go, mm-hmm. Oh, he's not on today. You know, those kinds of things. Yeah. You kind of do that, but you don't know somebody else is going to that. But my experience in law enforcement is it's very common for, well, it's because you have Zerflu, Joey, and his dad.
True.
You have Quentin Ellis and his dad. They were both in Wood County. So to me, it's not so uncommon, although. Yeah. My aspirations for, you know, your offspring is always to be that one step farther than you. And so I'd always asked him to be an attorney because, you know, he's smarter than me. and as we'd always said, you know, I can always use an attorney. I
mean, sure.
Who couldn't?
Ted, my mother just this weekend was getting on me about how much she wanted me to be an attorney. And you're not alone, man. You're not alone. Yeah.
But it is a calling that a person has to take. And it is quite a big step. I mean, you are dealing with both the best in humanity and the worst all at the same time in the same incident in a lot of cases. So your job is to sort through it, help those individuals that need helping, and then, I guess, work the other part for the other people who aren't doing the right thing and try to get them on the right path as well.
Yeah. Ted Jr., for you, what was it about this field that made you want to be a part of it?
Well, I think a big part of it was just, like he kind of mentioned, it's that weird dynamic. Growing up with it, you know, he's always around it. You know, you get the cool flashy lights, the big loud sirens, you're, you know, chasing bad guys, running back and forth. It, you know, has a draw to it, definitely. Mm-hmm. It definitely, if somebody has that calling. But I think the true nature of it was, like, when it came to college time, like, okay, what do you want to do with your life? I had always been telling myself, oh, I want to be a cop, I want to follow my dad's footsteps, I want to be a cop. And then he actually sort of tried talking me out of it, but went to college, had different aspirations, and I said, no, I got to follow what my heart says. So that's when I continued in this path, and here I am now. So
It's and especially from your perspective growing up with it, you get certain insights and see certain things that others don't. So where some people might look at TV shows and movies, oh, I want to be a police officer, and then they get into the job and realize, oh, it is some of that and it is some other things. You know, there's paperwork and other things involved you don't see on Law and Order and that kind of stuff. For you, you had a little more insight to it.
Do you
feel that that is not only part of the reason why you wanted to choose this path, but it also helped you, gave you a bit of an edge going into it?
Absolutely. Like you said, there are a lot of people that watch NCIS and all the other crime shows, like, oh yeah, it'd be so cool to do this, and they get into it and they're like, this is nothing what I expected, and they're out of it in like a year or less.
Right.
But having that insight, like knowing what the other part of it, the 90% paperwork, you know, you get the 2% of fun, the rest of it's paperwork. Right. So it's definitely a bigger insight, even the pros and cons of the job, like the ins and outs at work and out of work, you know. It's a job that definitely can affect you if you don't treat yourself right and go into it with the right attitude. So having that secondary knowledge or that inside knowledge, I think really helps and gave me a better understanding of what I should expect when I came up with this profession.
How are you enjoying it? How are you enjoying the position? How are you enjoying the field?
It's awesome. I look forward to every day. I wake up and I get ready. I'm like, I'm ready to go and try to do my best part. You know, maybe, I know the joke is, you know, I got your salty veterans that are, you know, like, oh, just waiting to go home. But if you got, I don't know, I'm just too young yet, or, you know, naive, whatever you want to call it. But I look forward to coming to work every day, and I love what I do, so.
It's really good to hear, man. It's really good to hear. And I think the majority, we know that, especially locally around here, the majority, if not all of the above 100% of people that are wearing that badge or in this position are in it because of passion, because they love what they do. You know, being blunt about it, you're not going to become a Rockefeller doing this kind of work. You're not going to, you know, get rich doing it. And it's not for that. It's for something, being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And I see that with both of you. I see that that's something. He didn't just get your good hair, sir. He also picked that up from you. So that's pretty nice. That's pretty good right there. When it comes to that part of things, you mentioned hearing a call and the worry or some of that and everything. And I think most people out there can relate. Any parent out there can relate to that, whether your kid's in law enforcement or not. Kind of the concerns there.
Sure.
There's also got to be an excitement there, too, for other ends of this, for more, I don't want to say positive, but more fun or positive parts of the job. There are those, and we don't get to highlight that very often with our unit, with our police forces.
That's true. I mean, a lot of ours is about interacting with the public. I mean, we're not always out there trying to arrest somebody. We are out there as part of our public. We're part of it, too. We're that community, I guess, connection to that law enforcement. So I know when I was on the road, the best parts I liked about it was everyone's like, oh, it's the same old day. It never was the same old day. If you think it's that way, you probably should be rethinking what you're doing, because that gives you not the edge of paying attention to what's going on. There are people you'll drive by who are just standing out in their lawn. Mm. Turn around and go back and talk to them. And all of a sudden you hear about a million problems in your neighborhood, and you just start working on them for them. Mm. That's really kind of what it's all about. It's about being proactive. It's about being there. You're not always there as reactive, which unfortunately we know laws are. But And then in hearing the radio, you know, you hear calls that you're like, oh my, there's somebody, and you're off you go. And then there's the emergency calls where you're going to a crash where you have absolutely no idea what you're going to see. So you have to prepare yourself for all of it, you know. And then you also have to be going through the questions in your mind about what you have to do when you get there, who you have to be looking for, things you're looking for to try to piece it back together, because not all the time is an accident. Mm. Sometimes people are doing things they shouldn't be doing and somebody gets hurt during it, and we call it an accident, but... Mm. Those are things that you're always looking for. So you have to mentally prepare yourself as you're in that heightened, I guess, emotional state rolling to it. So.
Yeah. I think that's a really insightful thing to bring up, too. So many of us, when we think of the police force or sheriff's department, any of these kind of units, we think of you sitting there waiting for crime to happen. You know, just sitting there, just waiting for crime all day.
Like the cat waiting for the mouse.
Yeah. First off, that'd be a really boring job. I think some of that comes from TV and movies. Again, just as a side note, we get a lot of that from that. But it's a great note to mention, I think, not only of the community interaction, and how important and how much a big part of that is of the job, but what can come of that.
Yes.
That's interesting to me. That's really cool. When it comes to the jail, sir, I want to get an update for the audience about that. As we mentioned before, Ted Ashbeck here, jail captain. How is the jail progressing?
Oh, it's progressing rather quickly. I mean, it was when we first talked about it, we're like, oh, you're going to see so much action going on, so much this. And then once the outside of the building was done, You don't see anything. And inside that building, it is like an ant farm going on. They are building like crazy. And you walk through some of the places where you could walk through one day before, come back the next day, and there's a wall there. You can't go this way anymore. So you're moving around, spaghetti of wires hanging out. You don't realize how many wires are inside of a cell where you go, oh, these people are just in their concrete walls and a ceiling and they got a bed. There's hundreds and hundreds of cabling that go in to make all these things operate as well. And you don't really see that in the movies either.
So, right, right.
Which is kind of our problem with movies. I mean, they're both beneficial as they show people what law enforcement can do, but they also give them an unrealistic ideal age. But yeah, they can solve this in a half hour.
Yeah.
I really wish I could. That would be awesome.
Right, right. That'd be great. And there's not nearly as much techno music in the scenes and everything. You know, when you're figuring out going through evidence or anything like that.
And I show up, I don't put my sunglasses on.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a good catchphrase, a good Lenny Briscoe line or something like that'd be great. That'd be nice.
That
but probably asking a lot to have a writing team on staff for you guys.
I'm a little old school. It'd have to be more like, you know, put a lollipop in your mouth.
Some Kojak?
Kojak. Caught the reference. All right.
Maybe the smoothest actor of all time, Teddy Telly Savalas. Yes. Well done, sir. When it comes to the work that's being done in the jail, it's great to hear the progress. I was talking to a listener, though, before, who was curious about some of the changes that are going on and why this jail is going to be so much safer. And I know that you and I have touched on this, Sheriff Becker and I have, but maybe going over a little of that wouldn't be a bad idea. Just what are some of the highlights, some of the key aspects that are going to make the jail not only safer, but better for our community?
Well, one would be the visibility of everyone. So, I mean, we have our staff, which right now is, you've been into our facility, our current one, it's a long hallway. You can't see anybody in it. You have to go to doors. Mm-hmm. You can't communicate at all. The inmates can't communicate with us. So when something goes on in there, all you hear is knocking on a door, and you have to figure out which door they're knocking on, running up and down, so you have people looking. The new one, with the design with the pods around you and everything designed so you can see into all the corners around you, you can see what might be going on before the knocking would happen. But they also have the ability to communicate with us. We have the ability to be able to see them at all times. And then with all those things going on, we also have the ability to have them in a safer environment. By right now, when somebody comes in, if something goes wrong in their life and they get arrested for it, they get brought in. They're being brought into the middle of our facility where everything is crisscrossing. So you have people going to court coming past. You got people coming back from court coming past. You got other people going to programming. You got people going to mental health appointments, doctor's appointments, all that crossing in the same place. So who knows who has a beef with so-and-so? Those are always on your mind because that has happened. We had people in church all of a sudden get up and start fighting. Who fights in church?
Right.
Well, people who want to get even with somebody, that's who. And these things do occur.
Yeah, anger doesn't wait for anything.
No, and it's anger management is a great thing. We try to promote that to people on coping skills to do with. But, you know, these people have come from places that aren't always the most environmentally sound for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a product of that, but they still have, well, even though they're in a different environment, it's still who they are. I mean, it's what they've been wired to do, and it's hard to unwire some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if you've done some of your own social medications.
Absolutely, yeah. And all these layers to that is stuff to keep in mind, not only for us as a community, but for when we're talking about and thinking about the work that you guys are doing, the added layers to this. Again, it's not as, there is nothing that's black and white in your field, really in life in general nowadays, but especially with the work that you guys do. And I think that's really important to keep in mind. You know, I am an actor. It's my industry. I like TVs and movies. I'm not talking bad about that, but I think you have to take all of that with a grain of salt and understand that this is entertainment first. And, you know, if you want to know the real story, if you really want to know what's going on there, which I encourage every single listener out there to do, talk to an officer. Talk, find out what their day-to-day is. Find out what their life is like. Find out what it's really like to wear that badge. Not only do we create more empathy with that in our society and build that bridge of community and law enforcement stronger, but I also think it's interesting. It's interesting what you guys do, the work that you do. It's something on paper that you step back and like, man, this works. Like, this is how our society stays whole. This is how we keep things in line. This is the that blue line. That's so strong and so important in society. I mentioned Westerns earlier. I love Westerns. I don't want to live in one. No. I have no interest in living in the old Wild West. I have no interest in that whatsoever. And I don't think anybody does.
It's just a video game.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, now Red Dead Redemption. Boom. Sure, I'll play that all day. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Could fill an hour on that one easily. Huh?
Absolutely. Man, just on the horse I could. Just riding around on the horse I could. When it comes to the jail update, one of the things that I have found from listeners that they have appreciated the insight, appreciated not only being able to see the building going up and stuff, but hearing some of our conversations. One of the other things that I was thinking about, I was going to bring this up with Sheriff Becker, and I'm curious, are there going to be opportunities for the community before the jail is up and running, we'll say? I don't know how to really word that, but for people to... again, lack of a better word, tour the jail or see some of the jail. You mentioned before those that have seen our jail, our current jail.
That's correct.
Well, that's probably a good percentage of people out there, but certainly not everybody. Oh, you know, here knocking on wood here, hoping that not everybody has. It's not something that you get. It's not the mall. It's not a restaurant or something like that. So are we looking for a way for people to, hey, see the new building? People see this. Is there something like that in the works or something you guys are thinking about with that?
I know that has been talked about. Okay. I know the county board members and Sean himself mm-hmm. has been talking about that. When that would occur and to what degree they would be seen. I mean, there's a lot of places inside the facility that aren't really designed for public to be through. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a construction that you make that is public friendly. So like stairwells and stuff and lobbies all are. Inside jails, not so much. I mean, it's meant for someone to be there with you, to mm-hmm. be interacting with you, and keep you where you're supposed to be safe.
Right.
Running general public through there, not always the most optimum. But obviously, a lot of people want to see it. I mean, it's quite the interesting. And as we were talking with some of the builders at Samuels Group and such, there really isn't another facility particularly like this anywhere in Wisconsin at all, and maybe even further over, because we're changing some of the ways that places had been built where before it's like silos all together. So you had like four columns and all your inmates in mm-hmm. these places. And now we've just stacked it on top of one another and gave us a whole different, I guess, one big column so we could do it a little bit more efficiently. And it all worked out mostly because of the space we were trying to fit in.
Hmm.
And it actually is turning out to be quite a
that's really interesting
different project. Yeah.
Hmm. That's a very different approach, not only putting it together, the actual building structure and such, but the way that we're going to be housing inmates.
Yeah.
That's a whole different way of doing it, it seems like. With that, have you guys had to learn different techniques or different ways of approaching putting somebody into the cell, even as simple as that?
Yeah, and that's what I've created.
Say simple as that. I apologize.
Well, and it can be just as simple as that. I mean, sometimes what we currently do may actually work in the environment we're going to be in, but given the enormity of where you're going to be working, it's going to be a little more difficult to do some of the tasks that you could do prior to. But we had put together a transition team. So we took people from inside our facility who are wanting to do extra and want to be part of this project. Mm. And now we sent them off to other jails to learn how they do it. So they have multi-level jails, which we don't. So those types of things they'll bring back to us, and then we have our meetings and then to work through our policies and procedures in order to figure out what will work, what could work, and then we put it into place. And then obviously a living document it'll have to be until you can, I guess, finalize it. And there you got it.
You know, as a big believer in silver linings, I personally, you know, I think like a lot of people, the jail should have been built 10, 20 years ago. You know, there's plenty of things that'll tell us that. But we're here now. It's up and running. We're going to have it up and running in the next year. All good things. One of the positives I do think from having the kick in the can that happened with this was that now when it came to the building of it, we have so much more data and so much more information about a way to design a jail, a way to build a jail. And I don't know up and down the state necessarily all the construction that's going on, but I'm pretty certain this is going to be one of the newest, if not the most newest jail in our state, as far as that goes. So the opportunity there for people to learn, there's going to be other jails opening, and you might have people wanting to come here to say, hey, can we just get an idea of what you guys did? Because we're designing our own. Or, you know, the staff there wanting to have some, hey, can we go ahead and have a run through here or a practice here? the opportunities that are there with that is unique and wonderful. And I know a lot of this stems from saving money mm-hmm. and not having to send clients or however you want to say it to other cities and everything. But the learning opportunities are pretty unique as well.
Yes, they are. Hmm. You could sit down and just think about it forever. But it really comes down to you have to try to figure out what you're trying to do and then try to move towards that, but not reinvent the wheel if you can help it because, somebody else has already had to think this through. So we go to a lot of what DOC, the state, says. Mm-hmm. We've had our state inspector come through and every month help walk her through, and she sees things that she sees in all the other jails, and she's talking about what we could do, what we couldn't do. So we're working through those projects as well, or those ideas that come from there. We've had people from the state prison system actually want to come and take a look at what we're building because, as they're in need of more space, this may be kind of what they need to do too. I mean, I suppose they're trying to look at all the options as well. I know Dane County is looking at building one almost like ours now, but multiple stories high. So, because they have, again, space issues down there. So, I don't know if we started it, but we're certainly part of it, and we're glad to be part of it and glad to help other communities work through it because that's why we're all here. It's kind of a community as well. So,
well, that comes back to one of the early conversations Sheriff Becker and I had in this way that law enforcement is going forward, that you and him kind of been a part of and have been experiencing and I think helped the transition, and people like your son are going to continue with, and that's the sharing of information. When we were kids and stuff, there were stories all the time about this department holding this information and not sharing it. The Richard Ramirez story is famous for that. The things like that. That stuff just doesn't happen as much anymore, if at all. And now it's so much about, I don't need credit for the bust. Let's just make the bust.
Yes.
Like that's, I think, a really encouraging thing for our society and just in general. But that also goes to knowledge and sharing knowledge. And, hey, it's not just important that I know this. It's sharing that information. My first, second favorite guitar player of all time, Eddie Van Halen.
Oh.
In part because of how Eddie was about technique.
Sure.
And making sure that other people could see it. He didn't care if he got credit for it. He just wanted you to see the finger tapping. He wanted people to learn, share the information. Knowledge should be free. Sharing of information when it comes to the jail or any of these other things for other people opening up jails, it's going to just make our law enforcement that much stronger.
Sure. What we've seen when we toured them, because that's what the county board and the ad hoc committee and our department went to multiple different places around the state in order to see what they had done and things that worked for them, what they would do different, and that all that information filtered into what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, cost being part of it too. You don't want to go, everything needs to be diamond plated.
Yeah.
No, come on, let's not go that right.
Yeah.
But there are some places where it's necessary to put things in high volume movement areas. You got to protect those areas.
Both of you, appreciate the time. Appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Safe travels out there. Be well. And thank you again for not only putting up with me and my questions, but for what you do for our community.
And Sean did give a request. He would like to have a photo of all three of us.
Oh, right on. No problem. If that's what he wants, that's what he gets. That sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you again for the time, you guys.
Thank you very much. James.
Big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big thank you to them and the amazing work they do. Do yourself a favor if you haven't done it already. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page and keep up to date on all the great work they are doing over there. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.